is Jeff Walmsley, MothmanLive.com, and co-author of Mothman Facts Behind the Legend, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Hour two, or actually hour three.
Yes.
I'm going to take a pounding, I think, tonight.
I got your back.
Via email or text message or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it.
It'll be all right.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
It's been kind of a weird night here, I have to say. We've talked to some wonderful people so far.
Absolutely.
We haven't talked to some wonderful people either.
Unfortunately.
I kind of had a little nicotine outburst, I guess, last half. I actually had to take a break here during the break.
We actually covered his body in patches.
Yeah, and just to kind of level me back out again here.
I can distract everybody if you want.
Well, somebody shooting out a window at somebody's car just kind of gets on my nerves.
Right.
And then some idiot. I never have liked David Cobb. I never have liked him. I don't like him.
Give him another patch, Keith.
I've never liked the guy.
He's not good.
He didn't make... He did not make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Who's on the phone with us now?
Chad Lambert. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, what's going on, Scott? Hey, I heard you quit smoking. What's that all about? Scott, has anyone ever told you nobody likes a quitter?
Quitters never win.
It's been... It's. Oh, my God.
I thought you had more in you, man. I thought you were full of spit and vinegar. Now you're like, quit smoking.
I'm getting old, man.
You got to hiss at him.
I'm getting old, Chad. And that deserves a bit of explanation, I think, because we had these people on called the Wonders last week.
Mm-hmm.
Renee and Maggie Gaudette.
Mm-hmm.
And we were speaking, they were channeling the Wonders, and that's one of the things, I don't know why it put the hook in me for some reason. I've had people say this to me over and over again. But the Wonders, or the Wonder, or we were speaking to these people.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about drugs and stuff like that, and I'm like, well, you know, Doug and myself, we both smoke cigarettes. He's like, yeah, and that's going to kill you. And we're like,
good for you.
I'm
Yay.
Like, wow. Nah, I never heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, actually, you've taken about 14 years off your life already.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that I believe the Wonders 150%, but for some strange reason, Chad, I have to say, by hearing it from them, it really kind of put the hook in me. And literally, during the show, pretty much, I took my cigarettes and put them to the side. And when the show was over with, I had a half a pack left. I threw them in the trash.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
I know. And here's the thing, though. For people out there that smoke, how many times have you tried to quit? And then you started back up again. Why did you start back up again, right? Why did you start back up again? Because you BS'd yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've tried to do the same thing with cigarettes before, where I'm like, okay, well, look, I'm quitting. I'm throwing these things away. But, God, you know, tobacco is expensive these days, and I really shouldn't waste them.
Mm-hmm.
So there I am smoking again, right?
So you try and get it to where you finish your last one right before you go to bed, so then you have none in the morning?
Well, yeah, so I don't know what the problem's been, but I haven't smoked all week. And I have to say, the majority of my smoking gets done during this show.
And he's a peach.
For some reason, I can actually feel myself. I am a little more aggro for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because usually Doug and myself are sitting here in the corner just chain smoking one after another while we do this show. It's kind of something you get used to after doing it for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, trying to do this thing and knowing that I can't do it anymore, whew, it's tough. Now,
you're breaking my heart, Nancy.
Well, Chad, that's the reason I had you come
on.
You
quit.
That's the reason I had you come on tonight, Chad, because it's that compassion that I expect from you.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps me out. But you said you were on the break. You said you were working on something too, weren't you, Chad?
Yeah, I'm working on the longest run of diarrhea I've ever had in my life. Also known as the Atkins diet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it works great. I've dropped about 30 pounds, and most of that's been crap.
You seriously, you dropped 30 pounds, though, on that thing?
Yeah.
You need to sit down with Doug, because he's been doing that thing off and on for, like, what, 20
his
years?
Life.
Yeah, his life. He's been trying that thing on, off and on. It's done nothing for him. It hasn't really done anything for him, so you have to give him your secret or something like that.
Stick to it.
Well, that's what you have to do, is you have to stick to it. That's the most important thing. There's a lot. You're going to be at the Mothman Festival, right, coming up here next weekend, Chad?
Yes, absolutely. Going to be bringing the new book, Point Pleasant, Eyes of the Beholder, with me.
You're gonna have a bunch of stacks there of copies for people to pick up, right?
Oh yeah.
I gotta find out from Jeff. That's one thing I want to talk to Jeff about. I have to talk to him this week. We were supposed to talk to him a half an hour ago,
but
I'll talk to him this week sometime. I want to see if we can get our booths next to each other this year. Would you be cool with that, Chad?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Although, think about this.
What's
that? If
you're
next to him, you're gonna watch him run into the bathroom a lot.
Well, yeah, and we're going to laugh at him. That's a thing.
Oh,
yeah, you certainly don't want to sit downwind of me, that's for sure.
Well, I know last year we were pretty much crossed away from each other. I'm going to see if he can actually get us all next to each other this year. And I know that'll be a really great time. You're going to be coming out there. Are you going to be out there Friday night or are you coming out Saturday morning?
I haven't decided yet. One of my favorite minor league baseball teams is actually in the Frontier League World Series, and they're playing a game close to that area Friday night. So I may be tooting around doing some sporting stuff.
Okay, so you might be able, well, hey, we're still going to see you on Saturday, though, I assume, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'll be there Saturday and Sunday.
And Point Pleasant Eyes, we've talked about this before on the show, actually. And we're gonna be able to pick up our own copy now. Well, we have our own here, but people are going to be able to pick this thing up on Saturday. You're going to be there Sunday, too, right?
Correct, both days.
Oh, that's going to be totally cool. People are going to be able to pick this thing up. Why did you do a sequel to this? I mean, that's one thing we never talked about before, is why was there a sequel to the original one?
Well, it's a funny story. The first Point Pleasant was intended to be just a one-shot, just a self-contained story. And I started editing this book for another publisher a year later called Tales of the Mothman, which we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ray Scott, the publisher, asked me if I wanted to write something for the next one. I said, yeah. So I sat down and started writing this story. And I got about halfway through it, and I'm like, I think this is a Point Pleasant story. This isn't a... standalone Mothman. So I talked to him about it, and he's like, "Yeah, let's do a sequel."
So yeah,
but it's totally standalone in the same breath. It's not really a continuation. But if you've read the first one, there's some definite cues in the second one that hint to a bigger story.
Okay.
But it's completely standalone by itself.
And you're going to have these, like you said, you're going to have these at the Mothman Festival next weekend for people to pick up.
We're going to have the new book, and we're going to have a couple of little goodies, too, that only festival goers will have access to.
Oh, what is that?
What kind of goodies?
Yeah.
We're doing a Twisted Gate does an anthology called The Portal, and it's a collection of short stories. And the third one has just come out, and Ray Scott, the publisher, let me write the whole book. So it's an entire book of short stories of every genre possible, and contained in that book is an actual Point Pleasant short story that's a comedy.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that before, that it's a short story, but it's a comedy, you said.
Yeah, it's a it's just a little five-pager. It's about two Rio Grande students just shortly after the first Mothman sightings going to the TNT trying to see what they can find.
That sounds familiar.
I think it's been done.
It's been done. Well, it was done by us last year.
Anyways.
Well, that sounds really cool. Is there anything else you guys going to be bringing with you? Any other goodies?
Well, I'll tease this. I can't really say what it is. It's going to be a big surprise. But we are bringing something on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only bringing 100 copies of it to the first 100 people there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And if anybody picked up Point Pleasant 2 years ago, they remember that I had a variant edition of that available, and that variant edition goes on eBay for probably $30 or $40 a pop now. So
really?
I remember.
It would behoove you to come by our table early on Saturday.
We're going to be next to each other.
Yeah, so.
We'll be right there.
Like the first four or so, or
yeah, like
five.
One.
The first five is going to be me and Scott and Doug, Amber and Tom, and then we're going to have Elmer and Devin. Yeah, we pretty much got your 100 gone already.
There you go. It will definitely be worth your while. Let me put it to you that way.
Well, I have to say, I'm still, ever since last year, Chad, I'm looking at it right now as we speak, as a matter of fact.
Yes, that is the coolest.
Yeah, I love this poster we got last year that I picked up from you guys, and I hung it up right here in the Haunted Winery. So I always look at it every week when we're doing the show.
Nice.
Are you going to have more stuff like that?
Yeah, like posters.
Or just the comic?
Because these were limited edition posters, too. You guys, it was actually framed and encased in plastic so it doesn't get damaged.
And signed.
Yeah, signed by you guys, too.
Yeah, that was actually, I think that was the cover to Tales of the Mothman number one that we did a poster of. And I talked to Ray the other day, and he had mentioned doing a poster, but I'm not sure what he's bringing with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah, we're going to have all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Oh, because I love this thing. Like I said, we got home, like, that day, and I had it up on the wall that night. I mean, it was, like, done.
Yeah, it's very cool. I love it.
That's a wonderful poster. I have the few people that have actually been able to see the Haunted Winery. We don't show too many people that nowadays. They always comment on this really neat poster we have on the wall.
I actually show everyone while he's at work. I do tours.
I'm actually going to bring a couple of one-of-a-kind items with me as well.
What's that?
So that should be pretty exciting. I'm bringing a poster, a concert poster, if you will. I mean, we're not exactly musicians, but we did a one-off book signing in Dayton, Ohio, a couple of years ago when Point Pleasant came out, and we had the entire crew from that book at that signing. So I'm going to bring a one-off concert poster signed by the entire creative team of that first book.
Oh, wow. And there's only one copy of that, you said, right?
There is only one I know of, and it's framed, matted, and ready to roll.
So is it first come, first serve, or are we going to start a bidding war?
It's going to be first come, first serve. I'm not a big fan of the bids.
I was really
me and eBay are not, we're not pals.
Aww.
Let's put it to you that way.
You know what? Thank you, Chad. You're probably the only other person I know. Everybody else I know, eBay.
I've never used eBay.
I've used it once, and that's it.
No. Well, let me tell you about eBay. If
Go
you
ahead.
Really think about it, here's what eBay is. If you buy something on eBay, that means you're willing to pay more for it than anyone else in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
you're
much.
Getting screwed.
I know I got screwed. I'm fairly sure I got screwed because last year, it was actually November of last year, I wanted to get Amber her birthday present early, right? And she wanted a copy of Paradise Lost, an original copy of Paradise Lost by John Milton with artwork by Gustav Dore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sounds pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, me and a couple other people put our heads together, I went on eBay for the first time, logged and registered my account and all that fun stuff, and typed in, you know, Paradise Lost, Gustav Dore, and then come up with a couple copies, right? And Chad, I know you're going to die when you hear this because this is exactly what you were talking about. I find a copy. I'm like, oh, it's in good shape. It looks good. This is what I'm looking for. Let's bid on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was at $152.
Wow.
When I started bidding on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. This is a beautiful book. You know, it was just wonderful. It's
and
heavy.
Amber's worth it.
Amber's worth it, right? So $150 out the door, no big deal, right? So I bid on this thing. There's a half an hour left in the bidding, mind you. $155, okay? Congratulations, you have the highest bid. You rule, you sucker. And so, okay, cool. I go back to checking the email. And it goes for about 20 minutes. 20 minutes we go, and I'm still in the lead. I'm like, I'm going to get this book because it's going to be sweet. I'm all set to go. And, boy, you know what? Hope Amber don't listen to this show because I never told her how much this thing cost.
Mm-hmm. You're about to.
I'm about to say it. Oh, crap. Well, whatever.
Amber, plug your ears right now.
Whatever. So, about the last 10 minutes of this bidding thing, right, I think I'm going to win. No problem at all. About 10 minutes left, all of a sudden, boom, you've been outbid like $158.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. $160. Boom. And now somebody has it on, like, automatic, whatever they do on there.
They have programs.
So now I'm screwed. Yeah, I'm sitting there fighting this person. To make a long story short, we took this thing, Chad, up to $266. That's we're not talking about shipping or anything yet either, right? But I won. What the idiot on the other end, whatever, you know, Bookhound 997 or whatever his name was, he didn't realize that I had a credit card hooked up to my PayPal account. So I had bottomless funds and going. I wasn't afraid of anything. I was going to get this book for Amber. So about $280 later, now mind the person who sold me the book had it there in a couple days, perfect shape. Everything was right there. I gave him like a 5-star rating or whatever we want to call it. They were great. But yeah, $280 later, I got the book.
And you still claim that you won the auction.
I won.
You won something.
I think with eBay, you're paying for a lot of the convenience. Because, I mean, you can just literally go in there and type in something as obscure as Paradise Lost by John Milton, original copy with artwork by Gustav Dore. That's not something you're going to find at your regular department store.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't discredit it in principle. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on last week, and somebody was selling Richard Gere's BMW from the Mothman Prophecies.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
No, and it was like, the buy it now was only like $2,800 on it because the car had like 300,000 miles on it.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, man, wouldn't that look cool in the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant?
Oh, yeah.
And they only wanted like $2,800?
Yeah, and it was authentic, too, because they were talking about in the auction that the way they filmed the first half hour, that they used this like filtered color lens to kind of give it this aged look.
Mm-hmm.
And the gray BMW looked brown through this filter. So they painted the car brown, and it looked gray.
No kidding.
So the car that you're bidding on is like this dark brown, and it's like it's a one of a kind because BMW doesn't make dark brown cars.
I've never seen one in that color. Honestly, I've never seen one in that color. So, well, that again, that just illustrates it right there. I mean, you're paying a lot for the convenience. I think I just typed in that, you know, that book and that artwork person, that person, the artist who does that, and I got the book. But I paid for it, and I think, yeah, a lot of people out there are losing a lot of money on eBay, but I think a lot of people are making a lot of money, too.
Oh, there are people that have careers out of eBay.
Yeah, oh, I hear people all the time. I have my, that's what I love
I have
hearing.
My own business.
I love hearing people say that. I'm sure you've heard that, too, Chad. So what do you do for a living? Well, I have my own business. Oh, really? You know, you got a butcher shop, you know, you got your own party store. Let me see, you got your own metal fabrication shop? No, I sell things on eBay.
I have a 15-page eBay store.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, so that's your business. Okay, another businessman out there. So, yeah, I guess that lends credit to a lot more business people, and there are people that make money on there, so congratulations to them.
Oh, there are
I'll never use it again.
Of people that...
I'll never use it again. Sorry, Chad, I had to tell. I just had to voice my opinion on that when you brought up eBay. That's what I think about eBay.
I'm sorry. I think I started it. But
did you start it?
Well, I told him to go for a bidding war. He wasn't very happy with that. He said it's going to be first come, first serve.
You know, I always wonder what I'm going to talk about when I come on Ghostly Talk.
Well, it does.
Well, it started with diarrhea, so it can only go up from there, right?
Let's move
yeah,
on
I
that.
Think I may have been the culprit there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. Like, I was talking to my publisher the other day, and he said... I told him, I said, hey, listen, I'm doing the Ghostly Talk Sunday night to promote the book and the show and stuff. And he's like, man, he's like, every time you go on there, he's like, you guys wind up talking about Winger and Pez dispensers and everything but the book. He's like, try and plug the book.
All right, we'll plug the book again.
Let's bring it
back. Nah, let's talk about gardening.
What is the new book about?
Ghostly Talk in the Garden. That is gold.
That's what the book's about.
You guys go out in a garden at 3 o'clock in the morning. Somebody tapes you with that like green night vision thing.
Okay.
And you guys interview people that think Miracle-Gro is a conspiracy.
Ooh, I like it.
It's a spinoff.
You know, I wish I could process that right now too.
I could host this. I could be like the Johnny Loves Chachi of Ghostly Talk.
Oh,
that's a great idea.
That would be awesome.
There has to be some serious drama, like someone getting hurt, like hurting.
Well, yeah, somebody's going to start.
Me.
Yeah, Bonnie will fall over and break her leg.
No, her thumb, her green thumb.
Yeah.
Oh, the green thumb.
I would for sure be the one to get hurt because I always am. So okay.
Well, we got to have some arguing though, too, Chad, don't we? I mean, that's how you get.
That's me and you because I hate you.
Well, we can't argue with each other though because that would be like adult to do that. Like we couldn't like.
No, I could argue with myself. I'm slightly bipolar.
Well, no, I've seen those
Let me
shows.
Tell you, the other version of myself, asshole. I hate that guy. He gets all the chicks. He doesn't have to go on the Atkins diet.
I remember last year, this was probably the funniest thing that happened all day long. It was one of the funny things.
Mm-hmm.
At the Mothman Festival. Chad, you came over to our booth and we were talking. We were kind of doing an interview thing. We were just having some fun talking. And I remember we were discussing something. And this beautiful woman walks by.
Mm-hmm.
This beautiful woman walks by. And Chad's like, so yeah, you know, yeah, the comic's doing really well. And we both kind of look at each other like, where were we? And the girl, she ended up coming up to the same girl ended up coming up to the booth and talking to us for a while for something or something like that. I don't remember. But I remember you just totally phased out, Chad. You were totally done.
Yeah, she may have come up afterward, but I had already blacked out. That's 10 years of broadcast experience right there.
I just remember we both were kind of like, hey, all right. And I listened to the playback on that. I was like, oh, my God. I can't take that. You're coming. You said you're going to be coming out on Saturday. Is there anything else that you had planned? You're planning on bringing? Any other goodies?
I may have a couple things floating around here. I'm always working on something. So.
Well, we're looking
forward. We shall see. It's going to be fun. I'm bringing, like I said, we're going to have 3 books there this year, which is kind of a record.
Well, this is our third. How many years have you been going now? It's our third year.
This will be my third.
We've been both going to same. Well, we've been there the same. I can't talk anymore.
We've been there the same amount of years. You've been going there just as long as we have.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I met Doug the first year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I forced him to go talk to you. Mm-hmm. I did.
Why was he shy?
It wasn't that he was shy, and no, I didn't beat him up, not that time anyways, but stop. You,
what?
The table that Ghostly Talk had that time, because it was indoors.
Yeah, it was indoors.
Was downstairs.
Yeah.
Chad was upstairs, and of course, I wasn't tied to the table, so I was wandering all over the place. And I saw Chad upstairs, and I overheard him.
Mm-hmm.
I listened in while he was talking to other people. So mm-hmm.
She eavesdropped.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. that was the beginning of my stalking phase.
And, I was going to say, you were stalking me. Is that?
Yeah, a little bit. I stalk everyone on Ghostly Talk. You'll come to learn. And
you're stalking John Hutchison now.
Yes, I am.
All the people.
And so I went back downstairs, and I told Doug, you have to go upstairs, you have to give him your card, you have to book him on Ghostly Talk. So, yes, I did make Doug go talk to him.
Well, that's a nice story, but we know the real reason.
I thought
Doug knows that writers shoot people.
Writers do shoot people.
Writers from Ohio shoot people.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
They're from Ohio.
I think people...
What else
wow, Keith. I think writers shoot people, especially writers from Ohio, because when you're a writer, and tell me if I'm wrong, Chad, when you're a writer, you're trying to convey a message. You're trying to convey an emotion. You're trying to get people to really be in that situation that you're trying to describe to them, and that requires a lot of output, right? And that makes
tremendous.
That makes you cranky after a while. That makes you very cranky after a while. And you do that for a number of years, and you turn into a complete jerk. I understand that. And then you go from jerk to wanting to shoot people. And then you go from wanting to shoot people to actually shooting people. That may be where it comes from.
Unless you split off like Chad did. Chad has
Chad's
one
a good
side.
Guy. I love Chad. He's great.
He has the one side that, as he self-described a-hole, wants to shoot people out his bedroom window. And then he has this Chad that we talk to that we love.
Yeah.
So unless you're able to split off into the two personalities, then you start shooting people.
Mm.
He can contain it because he has angry Chad
and
goofy Chad.
Chad's always
there may be a third personality, too. I'm not sure.
Well, he was
the third personality seems to really like a flock of seagulls. Well, I don't know what's up with that.
You know, we saw those guys about 3 years ago here in Detroit. Were you at that show, Keith?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, man. Now, if you anybody out there listening to this show, okay, if you know the band A Flock of Seagulls, they had those wild haircuts, those extreme wild haircuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hair was shooting all over the place. And I don't know if you've seen these guys recently, Chad, have you?
In fact, I have.
The guy, the singer guy,
he's
got the same haircut but with like half the hair.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. That's when I saw him a few years ago.
God. Just picture Tom Bosley with that haircut trying to sing.
That's so sad.
Chad, what were your impressions when you saw him?
When I saw him, he was wearing a hat.
Yeah. Ooh, no, he was like, his hair was all teased up and ready to go when we saw him like 3 years ago.
Oh, nice.
And it was like you couldn't take your eyes off of it. And they were playing all the hits. Well, they played the hit.
played their greatest hit.
They played the greatest hit, and we were like, okay, this
why
is
did
great.
You go?
Nostalgia, man. Because I did dig Flock of Seagulls for about 15 minutes.
It would take a wheelbarrow and a bottle of ether to get me to go to that.
Well, we were drunk. I won't say we were half in the bag, man. It was a good time. But I mean, yeah, it was an interesting show. And yeah, Flock of Seagulls. Hey, man, you get all my. I'll back up Flock of Seagulls, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say.
I personally love Chad Lambert. So,
but Chad, did you get that?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I blacked out again.
It's probably best. That's the drugs I give you.
Chad, we're looking forward to seeing you next week for sure. Last year was an absolute ball hanging out with you, and we look forward to doing it again this year at the 5th annual Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Any website you want to throw out there? I'm not sure what I have to. I watch out who you're affiliated with nowadays. Is there a website?
Yeah, you can go to www.twistedgate.com and see a five-page preview of the book. You can read the first five pages of it.
Okay, great. Definitely check out that website. We got to go, unfortunately, the break here. Chad, stay on the line, though, for a second, okay?
Oh, sure thing, Quitter.
Guys, this is Ghostly Talking. If you can't tell, I'm losing my voice now. I don't know.
I can. I told you the last time I called.
You don't sound that bad, man.
I'm struggling here. Well, don't you?
Want me to kiss
then
you?
Then shut up.
You can kiss me. You can kiss me if you want.
Okay, cool. If you two kiss, I'm out of here.
Why?
Don't lie.
Don't. No,
ew.
You can't leave because of that. It's
okay,
a beautiful thing.
Okay, this is Ghostly Talk. We're going to break. Bye-bye.
You're doing it totally wrong.
I don't care.
This is Ghostly Talk. This is Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm kissing Scott.
Oh.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
From dog to rock and everything in between, the best variety is right here on the OmniSound Radio 1 Network.
Things in your house that go bump in the night? Do you have flying orbs that come out of your closet? Or are your son or daughter having tea parties with someone who's not there and then telling you about them? Constantly talking about them. Does your son or daughter ever fall down on the floor and their eyes roll back in their head and they start talking backwards, drawing pentagrams on the walls. Perhaps, even, you've seen something come out of their mouth, like a huge spectral beam of light. Or you photograph something weird. For instance, your dog, looking at the ceiling, and howling for no reason. If this is you, you may want to download the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's official podcast at www.louisvillegs.com or on iTunes. Check out our podcast page for more information, and please, do something about your home, because it sounds haunted. Very haunted.
It's actually been a very good show.
It has.
I'm very happy.
You have been a peach all night, too.
Have I really been that bad?
No.
I think you've lost 2 pounds just from sweating.
I am sweating so much. You know, this happened, though. I have to say this happened before, about a year ago to me. Because a lot of people who know me know that one of my other vices I had was that I was hooked on nasal spray.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big time. Like every 3 days I was buying a new bottle, right? And I literally weaned, I didn't even wean myself off of it. I just cut it cold turkey.
Right.
And I went through 4 days of sweating, having panic attacks, anxiety, all that stuff.
It's a chemical change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, literally, one of my bosses from one of my other jobs, literally, he's like, dude, I used to work with, you know, heroin addicts, man. That's a low-level withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whoa, I was literally that hooked up on it, like mentally, the whole thing. This is the worst I've felt. Not bad, but I feel fine, but I'm just like, you know.
This is when you normally do the majority of your smoking.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're just like lighting one after another here, so I think I'm really starting to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
And we have on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bonnie, you know what? You take over. I want you to take the reins here. Bonnie, we're knighting you. String.
Knighting me as what?
Take the reins here.
I'm scared.
Take the reins. It's all you.
Well, actually, we have Laura on, and we have Jim Snell on.
We have Laura Moon
mm-hmm.
from Full Moon Radio.
Okay, stop.
I'm just helping you out.
I'm going to stab you with the pen.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going to watch.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Now, Laura had contacted me a couple weeks ago, and she said that there was something very near and dear to her that she wanted to come on and discuss.
Okay.
Now, Laura, I'm going to turn it over to you.
I see how it works. Well, I appreciate you guys making some time for me to come on, for Jim and I to come on and talk to our organization here tonight. Basically, years ago, I was in an internet chat room, and someone came in and asked for some help because they had a missing person.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a bunch of psychics that were in the chat, and at that time, a bunch of them were just giving information, like, right and left. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is a really, really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to take it on. But, you know, it just kind of was one of those light bulbs that stayed dimly lit for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently, I started doing some research on an old 30-year-old crime that happened to 3 girls. They were Girl Scouts at a camp in Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
and were killed, and the crime was never solved. It's a very interesting story, and I'm still doing the research on it, but it made me think about that particular incident and thought, well, now is the best time to do this. And I had seen Jim post a lot of Amber Alerts on his MySpace page.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm just going to take a chance and see if he wants to do this with me.
Mm-hmm.
And sent him an email, and he said he would be glad to mm-hmm. and was really very excited about the idea. And we just started you know, throwing ideas around, and now we've come up with an organization called Third Eye Cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they are initially going to be about awareness for murdered and missing children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to gather the paranormal community around us for a cause, give us something to all feel like we're working towards, and eventually hoping to have teams throughout the U.S. That can go in when there's a need for them to, that would comprise former law enforcement people, criminal investigator types, psychics and mediums, sensitive volunteers that are willing to compile all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long-range vision, but right now we're just, our main purpose is just to get the word out there and see how many people will help us out.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing idea, I have to say, Laura, to put together a network of people like this. This would be to try to solve a lot of these. Well, try to help these people. Number one, try to help these families and the children themselves to try to find them if they're missing. If we could put together a network of people like that, I really think that can make a big difference. I really think it can make a huge impact too. And it's a great idea. I have to commend you for that. When Jim contacted me a couple weeks ago about it, I was just blown away. I was like, my God, this is a great idea. He said, would you guys, you know, be interested in, you know, getting behind it? I'm like, we already are.
Right.
Go ahead, Jim.
The cool thing is the network is already there.
Mm-hmm.
We already have the network. Well, a lot of us have already established a network within the paranormal community.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we're just going to tap and redirect that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if we can just create awareness, or even if we just pass the word around during an Amber Alert, by having feet on the ground in that particular state,
mm-hmm.
We're basically just tapping into that network that's already there. And the paranormal community is always been really good about stepping up and doing what they can to help. They're very selfless, most of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's information sharing. It's not much unlike what we already do. It's just, like I said, it's a refocus, a redirection of the efforts. And, you know, how many kids do we want to save? All of them. But, you know, realistically, I'd be thrilled to death to save one.
Right.
Or at least, you know, by route of getting the word out and preventing a situation.
Well, listen, that's kind of the process we're talking about here, is that initially somebody would put the word out, whether it be, you know, on email or message boards or the big M, the big MySpace thing, or my parent, or whatever site it may be, right?
Right.
They put the word out like that. Hey, everybody in Arkansas, this person's missing. There's an Amber Alert out on this little girl or little boy. Let's go to work on this, right? And then that would summon more or less some people in the community, right? And then they basically, from there, they could take that and contact the authorities there if they have any impressions or ideas, possibly. Am I correct?
They could even post, you know, flyers. They could be our direct link to the local news,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that, and put it all together in a place where maybe somebody can pour over this data and maybe comes, you know, to a conclusion or come to an idea or a lead.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to waste law enforcement's time either, sending them, you know, in the wrong directions.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, we want to feel like we can take it to a certain level, which would be credible with law enforcement, and let them basically handle it from there. We're still working out the details on, you know, because you don't want to get people too close to a situation either.
Well, of course not, no.
It's a touchy subject, but at the same time, we're just basically looking for eyes and ears and mouths to pass the word around and keep your eye out. And we're going to be doing some PSAs that are kind of educational, things you may not think about in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes to think about this stuff.
No,
you know,
no.
It's horrific stuff to think about. But like I said, you know, we've already got this network here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try and do something a little more with it, you know.
Well, definitely, you know, and Jim, you made a really good point that, you know, it's about everybody in the paranormal community. They're all selfless people.
Right.
The majority of us do this thing out of love of doing it, mm-hmm. out of love of learning, out of love of growing in this field. And most people, I mean, I have to say most people I've ever met in this community, they've bent over backwards to help me with, you know, to help me learn something or to help me with any type of thing we were doing with the show. I've just about everybody we've ever dealt with has been just more than helpful about things. And I think that for a cause like this, which is
that's something
dwarfs Ghostly Talk, right? It dwarfs our little radio show we do here. I think everybody should get behind something like this,
mm-hmm.
And help out as much as possible.
I think we will get, you know, we already have had a lot of interest. And I think, yeah, it's just because once the word gets out, you know, ideally it'd be great to have one or two people in every paranormal group across the country sign on with us, and it's not going to require a bunch of time. It's
mm-hmm.
really not. You know, you're going to get called when something's going on in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you know something, you'll be calling us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to get the word out. And, you know, prevention is the best part
yeah.
you know, to
mm-hmm.
work on. And we're going to work on that first.
Mm-hmm.
And that just basically comes from education.
It's going to be...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Laura. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. One of the things that is really important to me is being able to help kids realize that their intuition is something that is important. A lot of times parents will, you know, override what a kid says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're deathly afraid of going someplace. And, you know, sometimes it's legitimate. You know, they're just afraid of the unknown. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's a little bit more than that. And we just have to be aware of what our kids are telling us. And, you know, listen to them if they have a specific concern. And kids need to be aware, you know, able to trust their judgment.
Yeah.
And those are some of the things that I'm going to be working on as far as putting materials together.
Well, that's one big thing. We've used this example over and over again on this show, and I'm sure you guys have on your shows, where, you know, children, and I'm not saying that you're being a bad parent by doing this, but I always like to use the example of the kid who wakes up with nightmares and stuff in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents run in there and say, you know, nothing is going to hurt you.
There's nothing there. There's no such thing as a ghost. There's no one in your closet.
There's nothing in your closet, exactly. You know, this is your house. That's fine. Well, that's being a great parent. And I think you guys are both parents, Laura and Jim. You're both parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's probably the biggest driver in this,
yeah. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not a parent myself. But shut up, Bonnie. Be quiet.
But you will be.
Oh, would you guys cut this? You guys listened to the show last week, too, huh?
Okay, yes, great. We did.
Great. I've been looking at my closet all week going, okay, man, just say something to me. I'm going to knock you out.
I'm not a parent either, but this is
yeah.
this is something that I believe anyone could feel very strongly about.
But, you know, the point is, though, is that, you know, encouraging them to trust their gut
mm-hmm.
feelings and trust their intuition. It took me a lot of years to really get the backbone to do that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I had bad parents. It's just, you know, hey, it's cut and dry. You're the kid. I'm the adult.
Right.
I know what's going on here, and you're dumb until I say you're not dumb.
Right.
there's nothing wrong with that.
I think you and I had the same upbringing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine, you know, but it takes you some time to get the, how would you say, the self-esteem
mm-hmm.
to trust your own judgments and trust your own gut feelings through that. So
mm-hmm.
that's a good idea, Laura. It's a huge, huge idea, as a matter of fact.
Thanks. Well, you know, the thing that works really well for Jim and I working together is he has a close ties with law enforcement background. I mean, he knows
mm-hmm.
the police chief in his city. He's worked in corrections. And my background has been primarily with psychology
mm-hmm.
and with the intuitive arts. So bringing those two things together is something unique. Maybe on TV you see it and it's not unique, but on a large scale,
mm-hmm.
it is unique. And that's what I think is going to be our strong suit, is that we are going to be able to use all of our forces that we have available to us to make people aware and to bring about some kind of a change.
Mm. It would be very good. I mean, it's going to be a lot of work, I know for a fact, guys. It's going to be a ton of work, but I think this is a really good program you guys are working on, and I think it can help. It can help. So it can help a lot of kids.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like Jim said, one kid would be enough, but I really think it would help a lot more than that. And
yeah, I mean that's a goal, you know, definitely. And even if, like I said, if it's just out of prevention,
mm-hmm.
if you get some education out there and a parent avoids a situation that could lead to an abduction,
mm-hmm.
Right there you save the kid.
Absolutely.
And those are the cases you'll never hear about.
No.
Right.
But, you know, it will happen if you get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the kids need to trust their judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. I mean, you know, even though I had these, you know, the upbringing I did, which wasn't bad. My parents are
right.
cool. There were times where I'd have a, this is not right, I need to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's because, hey, I did have that gut feeling. And I think a lot of kids, they don't have that nowadays, it seems like. A lot of children, I mean, even more so nowadays, I think I don't know. I'm not a parent, but from what I've seen, the kids seem to be led a lot more nowadays, too. And I'd like to...
Yeah, they are a lot more desensitized, I think, than when we were kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
things weren't as graphic. I mean, I'm not going to blame the media because everybody likes to do that, and I don't think that's the case.
No, it's the parents.
But they do see a lot, and they hear a lot.
Yeah.
I've been hearing this so much. I mean, it's hard to put it into words, too. I mean, I don't want to come across like some moron either, because I don't think I really am. The thing is I was exposed to this so much when I was a kid. I grew up, and Keith knows, we both grew up the same way. We both listened to just, if it was disgusting sounding and it tore the paint off walls, we'd buy the record. We'd buy the record,
yeah,
and we'd love the record, right? So all the horror films, you name it, the grosser the better, give it to me, right? But I never took that from the fantasy thing that it was,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's where
how weird we all turned out.
Well, yeah, good point. But I haven't murdered anybody.
Certainly not.
Haven't harmed anybody. Haven't harmed myself. Haven't done anything like that at all. It's fun. We enjoy ourselves. And I think that's the biggest problem is that I think children nowadays, the younger generation, they can't separate reality and fantasy for some reason. And I'm not going to blame the media. I think to a certain degree there may be an influence,
mm-hmm.
very much so.
Environment, it's the world
you know,
we live in nowadays.
The imagination is unique with every person, no matter what you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had books, we had records, we had radio when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm older than all of you guys, so you know, enough of this. Kids today stuff. You know, really, it's really what kind of activities a kid's involved in and
mm-hmm.
what kind of a life they have at home that makes all the
That's what I was getting to is just that, Laura, is, you know, what are the parents doing? Are the parents sitting there going, look, I know you're playing that game or you're listening to that show or listening to that record. Are they instilling these ideas in them like, look, this is entertainment only. This is not reality. You cannot go out and do this for real. How much more clear and cut and dry can you make it?
Okay,
right?
Now I really don't think that's the cause of why there's problems with intuition.
Oh, okay.
I think the problem is that parents just shuff off a lot of things.
There
because,
you go. There you go.
Yeah, I think really that's the biggest portion of it and peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are much more important as far as how kids use their intuition. Video games and TV really has nothing to do with it as far as I'm concerned because those
mm-hmm.
are just distractions. But anyways, I'm going to have to get off here.
Okay.
But I'll leave Jim on to continue talking. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that our website is Third Eye Co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coop.org.
Mm-hmm. COOO. You say that again one more time, Laura?
Third Eye.
COOP.
Okay, great. Okay, cool. Laura, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I really appreciate you letting us come on.
Oh, no, we're going to over and over again, Laura. We're going to keep doing this as long as we have to. If you guys are cool with that, we'll keep doing it with you guys.
Absolutely.
Cool?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Bonnie and Scott.
Have a good show tonight. Have a good show tonight, Laura, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jim, we're alone now.
I thought I was going to have trouble following Chad's diarrhea, but
well, no. And Laura made some very good points there before she had to hop off because she's got to do her show here right after we're done. Full Moon Radio comes
right.
on. Great show, check it out, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
there, I mean, I think a lot of that stuff plays into that, where kids, they are desensitized. And, I mean, I do not, growing up as a child of media, I mean, and I'm in the media now, full, I mean, my nose is to the grind every day. I don't think it's the only reason that kids are so desensitized now and they don't trust themselves, but I think it may have a little bit to do with it. It's gonna spark a few ideas here and there. I'm not a parent, though, so I don't know.
Well, you know, children are too trusting anyway, and that's why they're victims, and that's why they're easy targets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You can trick a kid, you know, and that's what happens. They bait them, and, you know, and a lot of these abductions are from people that they know or maybe a non-custodial parent. But they're, you know, they're volatile and dangerous all the same and confusing to the kids.
No, exactly.
And, you know, this is just something that, like I said before, we've already got a network, a nationwide network established. It's not going to take much to just, you know, have somebody online that can give us some information, hang up some flyers. It's just going to be as simple as that. It's not going to be something that's going to take up a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really important.
You know, the rewards are, you know, who knows?
Well, I can only imagine. You know, you hear about it every day about people, and, you know, you hear it on TV and stuff like that about another child's been abducted, right? And it's got to be a numbing feeling, not even beyond numbing. You're a parent, I'm sure, you know, that this is something
that turns my stomach every time I see something like that.
Exactly, you know, and just my family alone. I mean, if anything could ever happen to any of my family, right, not even children, it turns my stomach, and it enrages me. It makes me just want to just go out and just destroy things, right? I can only imagine the pain. I mean, I'm not a parent, but as far as a child goes, it must be like that times 50. It must be even worse.
It's infinite. You know, there's also, you know, there's a paternal element to this, too. I mean, these kids look to you as a parent and as other adults in the community, neighbors, school teachers, whatever.
Yeah.
They look to you to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. They trust the fact that you're going to keep them safe. And that's when these other adults play on that fact, and they take advantage of it, and that's why they're so easily tricked.
Yeah, and it's a shame. It's a horrible shame that, you know, people you should look up to, when they get to a certain age, they do take advantage of like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sad thing. I want to switch gears just a little bit, Jim. What's going on with Chasers Radio? Is there anything new coming on with that? I got your CDs, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I'm headed to Disney World here tomorrow night.
Oh, really?
I'm scooting out of town. Yeah, you know, that's what you're supposed to do when you start a new show. Like that old commercial, now what are you going to do, going to Disney?
Yeah.
So when I get back, we have some really great investigations coming up, including a lighthouse, Portsmouth Lighthouse, in Newcastle, New Hampshire.
Cool.
And we're really excited about that. We're going to be doing some stuff with some guys out of New York called Scared.
Okay.
Movies. Our next investigation is going to be at a haunted school up in Vermont with GI New England.
Ooh.
And that's on the 23rd. So all that stuff you're going to get to hear about.
All right.
And when I get it in gear, I'm going to get the rest of our cases produced. You know, we still have to get releases signed and everything to air them.
Oh, yeah.
So... But we've gotten some good investigations done already. The Wyndham in Wyndham, New Hampshire, which is an old, it's a restaurant now, but the place is just huge. And reportedly, it's got like 3 or 4 ghosts, 2 being children, 1 being an old man. And, you know, it was a little weird up in there because the floors are kind of wavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like walking on the moon, you know, you're kind of one step is higher than the next and whatnot. So, you know, there's a lot of psychological elements to what's going on up in there. The rooms are kind of enclosed. But they had some really weird activity over there. We didn't really get anything that was too exciting. So,
well, that's the name of the game. That's part of that. Part of the game.
We plan on going back.
Yeah, that's all you can do is just keep
really
repeating.
Exciting stuff.
Just keep
visiting
going.
John Zappas.
Oh,
at the Paranormal Museum. We were scheduled to go down there. It was a few days before Ed had passed away.
Mm.
So, of course, we rescheduled that. So we're going to get together with John and have some fun.
Mm-hmm. John's the man.
Some other friends will be coming, too. And you guys will get to hear that as well. That's going to be part of the John Zaffis episode.
Can't wait. Unfortunately, we are at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make way for Full Moon Radio with
That's
Laura,
right.
who was just on the phone. You just talked to her. You're going to hear her on her show here in a few minutes. But, Jim,
thanks
need to
so
thank
much, guys.
Yeah, no, stay on the line for a second, all right, Jim?
Okay, bud.
We want to thank everybody who was on tonight.
Yes. Six
out of seven. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Elmo came on the first half hour. Doug was here for the first half hour, too, but now he's doing something. Well, he's gambling. That's
yeah, he's gambling.
Gambling right now.
Keith Age.
Can't wait to see you in Louisville in a couple weeks here. Rick Bagheera from Berkshire. How you say it?
Berkshire High Paranormal.
Jeff Wamsley, he wasn't here. Jeff, we got to figure out what happened with him. Chad Lambert. Always a fun time. Always a wild and zany guy to talk to.
Yeah.
Jim Snell and Laura Moon from Chasers Radio. Jim's from Chasers Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then Laura's from Full Moon Radio. We need to thank you guys for coming on the show also.
And Third Eye Co-op.
I'm dripping with sweat right now.
It'll be okay.
I'm dripping with sweat.
We made it.
This sucks. I'm trying to quit. This hurts. This really hurts. Guys, this was Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
Have a great week. We'll see you guys. We're not going to see you guys until...
For three weeks?
A couple weeks. We'll see you guys at the top of October for Ghost Month.
Yeah.
Yes!
I love Ghost Month.
Some serious surprises coming up for October. Stick around, guys. Have a great week. Peace. See you later.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. To listen too loudly.
Media, become the media.